everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, welcoming you to the program. It's Thursday, July the 15th, 2021. Tom, I want to put a little traffic note. Driving in over on Palo Verde, right before you get to the intersection of Golf Links, there is a sinkhole that has developed. Yeah, I know. So if anybody's, I believe that is in the city. So if anybody from the city is listening, you might want to get out and check that out. That is a hazard. This is not a standard pothole. This could be a real problem if somebody hits that.
Palo Verde near what?
Okay, it's just north of the intersection of Palo Verde and Golf Links, right over here by the station. So if anybody is in that area, it's in the right-hand lane. Be very careful. In our 11th year here on the radio, and Tom, there are all sorts of road condition problems from the rains that we've been having.
Oh, yeah, and you need to be wary of standing water.
Right.
And you don't know how deep it is.
Yes.
So any areas where there's intersections or low spots in the roadway, you want to avoid those.
And there have been several swift water rescues over the past 24 hours. So please be sensible out there. Don't put any of our firefighters, our rescue people in jeopardy. And we do have in this state a stupid motorist law. So you can be held liable. In our 11th year in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have archived a lot of content. Over 10 years of programs are there, now becoming of historic importance, some of these shows going back that far. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor District 1 Democrat Rex Scott joins me now in studio for his monthly visit. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great and very happy to be here with you and your listeners today.
I understand you were up in the hot Northwest right when they were having the big heat wave, the heat dome. You were in the Portland area, and it was almost 115 degrees.
I was in both Portland and Bend during that time and made sure to not let anybody know where I was from, lest they accuse me of bringing our weather up there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that was probably a kind of a humid 115 degrees.
Having grown up in southeastern Ohio, it was humid, but not the kind of humidity I grew up with. So it was still, for me, very bearable.
All right. Our congratulations to our friend Mark Napier, the former Pima County Sheriff. Mark has decided to return to Pima County, not in a law enforcement role. Supervisor Scott, he will be taking over in an assistant Pima County administration job.
That's correct. There are two assistant administrators who have recently left the county, one because of retirement, the other one because they went to work for the Tucson Airport Authority. And essentially, the former sheriff will be taking on a consolidation of their roles. And the county administrator, Mr. Huckleberry, pointed out what he had seen in terms of the former sheriff's performance as a manager when he was over the sheriff's department for 4 years. And I think that's always the best reason to bring somebody into a leadership position, because of how they've distinguished themselves in a previous leadership position. And I'm delighted that we will be able to have his service still benefiting the residents of Pima County. And I would point out that he is a resident of District 1.
There you go. All right. As am I.
Yeah.
All right. The COVID situation, cases nationwide have doubled in just since the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
And I'm just wondering about Pima County. The Pima County supervisors, you and your colleagues, decided to end the emergency order. Do you think that could be readdressed if things start to heat up?
Well, we said that day when we made that decision that we always reserved the right to revisit the need for the board to take action in the interest of public health, which is what we've been doing throughout the pandemic and certainly since the new board took office in January. But you heard during that meeting, both the chief medical officer and the head of the health department say that they didn't see any risk or harm in moving forward with this. And really, the emergency order, other than the messaging that it conveys, its biggest practical effect was that it allowed the chair of the board to rule by proclamation, if you will, instead of taking something before the entire board when the board chair thought that that was in the interest of public health. That was the most important practical effect of the emergency order. And I think if we are consistently putting out the message that you need to get vaccinated, over 90% of the people who are currently dealing with the virus are unvaccinated people. I think if we're being consistent and persistent in that messaging, that's the important thing.
We're trying to get the vaccination to the people here in Pima County, aren't we? We've kind of changed the strategy, trying to deliver it to people who are still hesitant.
And I think when you're having that that purpose, then those people are most likely to listen to people that they already have a relationship with, their doctor, their pharmacist. And so I think getting down into that more grassroots approach to vaccination is an important step for us to take. Although we have been consistently taking the vaccine to the people through our mobile vaccination units and the mobile units that we had in partnership with the Federal Emergency Management Administration.
Virtual meetings, are they coming to an end? I know that you have not really sat in the same room with your colleagues.
We have not. And our last virtual meeting is going to be August 10th. We scheduled an additional meeting for August at our last meeting. And then 6 days from then, we will have our scheduled August meeting, and that is supposed to be live. The reason for the continued virtual meetings, though, has not been pandemic-related. It's been the fact that there's construction in the board hearing room and on that floor that's not going to be finished until the middle of next month.
It has been rather difficult for you as a new supervisor, though, to navigate waters. These were uncharted waters. You're a new supervisor, and you really haven't had a chance to interact with your colleagues.
And that has been certainly any number of missed opportunities when you're not able to interact face-to-face as much as you'd like to with the other four supervisors. But the bigger issue, I think, for all of us has been the inability to get out into our districts and meet face-to-face with our constituents, go to their events, go to the meetings of their groups. I've recently had some increase in the number of public events within District 1, and I'm sure that's true for my four colleagues on the board. That's been the greatest hindrance, is not being able to get out and interact with our constituents.
Are you going then to meetings face-to-face with people?
When I'm invited to them, absolutely. There mm-hmm. are still some groups and some individuals who prefer to meet virtually, but anybody or any group that wants me to meet with them face-to-face, I'm happy to do it. I've been invited to some ribbon cuttings as well for some new businesses in District 1. It's been a joy to go to those.
That's part of the business. That's part of your role as a Pima County supervisor.
Absolutely.
We'll take the break right here because I want to get into the next Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA plan. I want to talk a little bit about your recent op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star, but we'll take a break right here. Rex Scott is with us, Supervisor District 1. If you'd like to ask a question of the supervisor, 790-2040. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Rex Scott is with me. Supervisor Scott, the first Democrat who was elected to District 1 since 1972. I think that's right, isn't it, Supervisor? Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
Supervisor Asta was
elected
in 1972, and then he was defeated when he ran for re-election 4 years later.
Wow. Talk a little bit about your recent op-ed, your opinion piece in the Arizona Daily Star, talking about the next Regional Transportation Authority plan. The move right now among some City of Tucson leaders is to make that plan, Rex Scott, more city-centric.
Well, it's going to be impossible for us to come up with an RTA next plan that doesn't involve the city substantially. I mean, the city is the cultural and financial hub of our region. About 52% of the population is within the city limits. And you can't look at any substantive and appealing regional transportation plan that doesn't touch on all of the city's needs. So I don't think that there's any necessity in, as some city officials have requested, having an upfront pledge of a certain amount of the next RTA plan to go towards the city, because just in the process of the Citizens Advisory Committee working through the plan that's going to be presented to the voters, of course Tucson is going to be at the center of any plan, just like they are with the current plan. The current plan, right around 55% of the RTA's work was done in the city, including 62% of the funds devoted towards transit. So I don't think there's any necessity for there to be some kind of upfront pledge of a certain percentage of the next plan. My main point in that op-ed was that we should all commit to honestly engaging in a collaborative, citizens-driven process so that each of us can go to our constituents and say with pride and with enthusiasm, we think you should pass this plan. And it's also important to point out that the legislature gave the RTA permission to go back to the public to either ask for a renewal of the existing half-cent sales tax or any amount up to a full penny. And the amount of revenue that that could generate for transportation needs within our region, none of us could do that alone. We are always stronger working together than we are working it separately. And so my main message in that column was, let's all commit to working together in an open, honest process to come up with a plan that we can all support.
So the assertion by some city leaders that the current plan has shortchanged their residents within the city, you believe it does not hold water?
I don't think it stands up to scrutiny. Not only has 55% of the RTA spending happened within city limits, including, as I said, 62% of all the money devoted towards transit, but in the last five-year period of the current plan, 98% of the funds are going towards city projects. And a lot of the reason that the city projects are coming up near the end of the current RTA plan was at the request of the city back when the first plan started in 2006. They wanted to focus on funds for the streetcar, and they also had other reasons that they asked that some of their more significant road projects waited until the last five-year cycle. So no, I don't think those claims stand up to scrutiny, and I think it's important for all of us, as I said, to commit to an open and honest process.
City leaders have pointed to the Maricopa County Association of Governments when they start talking about, well, maybe we should have a weighted vote that matches the populations.
Well, but when they make those comparisons, they forget that the Maricopa Association of Governments has substantially more, I think three times more members.
I think than, 33 members.
There you go. Yeah. And that is, again, three times as many members that we have. So Phoenix and Maricopa County may have a weighted vote, and their executive director was quoted in an article that was written by Nicole Ludden in the Arizona Daily Star back in the late spring as saying that the reason that weighted vote is there is so the smaller jurisdictions can't gang up on Phoenix and Maricopa County and roll over them. A weighted vote in Pima County would give the city an absolutely uncontestable veto power over everything that comes before the PAG Regional Council. And comparisons with Maricopa County are just not comparing apples to apples to apples. It's comparing apples to oranges. Moreover, the city's own data indicates that MPOs, metropolitan planning organizations around the country, 27% of them have weighted votes. Well, that means that 73% of them, by the city's own research, don't. It's not the best arrangement for Pima County, and comparisons with Maricopa County are not straight comparisons.
And we have a 9-member, for folks that don't know, we have a 9-member board, and you represent Pima County.
I do.
And the tribal nations have votes.
Yes, they do.
And so you think this has worked for 15 years the way we are, 15 of the 20-year plan? It's worked.
It has. It has. And what I think is important is that even if you're representing a local entity, when you're making regional decisions, you need to think about not just your own parochial concerns. You need to think about the interests and the future of the entire region. And again, That's why I think all of us, including my colleagues in city government, should commit to an open, honest process. There was a framework for conducting their business that the Citizens Advisory Commission adopted back in January of 2020. That framework mitigates against any jurisdiction either rolling over the others or being shortchanged by the others.
Where are we, Rex Scott, in the process right now? I know there's a Citizens Advisory Board that's looking at how the next plan should be shaped, when it should go to the voters. You talked about it's currently a half-cent sales tax. It could go to a penny. You're trying to find the right mix right now.
It could go anywhere from a renewal of the existing half-cent to mm-hmm. any points all the way up to a full penny. That's what the legislature allowed us to do. Where we are right now is that my colleagues on the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council and Regional Transportation Authority Board just reappointed 23 members of the Citizens Advisory Commission who wanted to stay in those roles. We plan to appoint an additional 12 so that we can get back up to the full complement of 35. And then those folks will work with each other to come up with an RTA next plan that would have to be approved by the RTA board and the PAG Regional Council, and then is sent to the voters. And there will be a lot of opportunity for the public to have input into the draft plan that the Citizens Advisory Committee puts together.
Rex Scott, are you concerned about a souring of relations with Pima County and the city of Tucson right now? We had the mayor with us last Thursday. We had Councilman Cunningham on the program yesterday, and I'm getting the feeling that if Pima County comes after the city contesting the new Tucson Water graduated rate increases, that the city feels they are on solid legal ground in that respect. And I'm just wondering about the whole relationship, what this is doing to it.
Well, I've only been doing this work for 6 months. And to me, talking about the souring of a relationship that has just started and where there is an expectation by the public in Pima County, including within the city, that we are working collaboratively and maturely with each other on issues of common concern. Certainly there are wide differences of opinion on this issue of charging higher water rates to people purely because they live in unincorporated Pima County.
About 36%, 37% of the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And other people who live outside the city of Tucson, if mm-hmm. they live in other jurisdictions such as Marana and Oro Valley, they're not charged these higher rates. So we definitely have concerns about the equity and injustice of that kind of proposal, but that doesn't mean that either we or our colleagues in city government should use this as an excuse to not work together collaboratively on other issues of concern. And even with this issue, we should continue talking about it. We were supposed to have a joint meeting.
What happened to that meeting?
I am not sure.
Was it canceled at the last minute?
It was within just a couple of days of it supposing to be scheduled. And my understanding, even after our two clerks, the city's clerk and the county's clerk, had worked very hard to come up with a date that worked for everybody, for some folks, and I'm not sure who it was. Turned out to be a day where they had some conflicts, but we need to find another opportunity to come together as two bodies. The public expects us to work together collaboratively and maturely on issues that concern both bodies.
What's at the heart of this? Do you think that there's this history, and I think it goes back more than 40 years with this Tucson Water and the unincorporated areas. There is a track record, if you will, that I know that Mr. Huckleberry and others are pointing to, that why now? They're asking why now? Why the change now?
Well, and I
think that kind of at the heart maybe of this?
it's certainly what I hear from our constituents in District 1, many of whom would be affected by these higher rates.
Including myself.
Exactly. And you know, these are folks who have been customers of Tucson Water for over 40 years in many instances, and they've always been charged the same rates as their peers within the city or within other jurisdictions. And so for us, it just seems very arbitrary. And the differential rates that are charged to people outside of other jurisdictions within Arizona, they don't have the same history of going after established ratepayers. Again, people who've been paying the same rates for over 40 years. Other jurisdictions that do this, it's usually with new developments. People who are not just people who haven't been with the utility for as long as the affected ratepayers in unincorporated Pima County have been.
All right, Rex Scott, thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap it up and leave it right there. And I hope you have a great rest of the day, rest of the week. Great weekend. Thank you.
Bill, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
All right. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with us. He represents District 1 on the 5-member board of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Coming up next, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, who is our aviation contributor. Jeff just back after kind of a busy 7 days flying all over the place. So he's got the very latest on we've been hearing if you're flying this summer. Bring a lot of patience with you because things are very crowded. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, our go-to nursery for everything green, everything you're going to need for the garden. And with all this rain, oh boy, the plants are ready. They are ready for your backyard. Get some color in the yard for the remaining summer thunderstorm season and right into the fall. Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road. We love Green Things. We love Jan and Jack, the owners. And they also, Jan and Jack, just returned from a Mexico buying trip for their business Zocalo Village, which is right there on Green Things. Wow, they brought back some really beautiful things from Mexico, and I think they were over in Oaxaca. Anyway, check it out. Zocalo Village is on the property as well. The websites, GreenThingsAZ and ZocaloVillage.com. The live line on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, the Buckmaster Show contributor on aviation. He's one of two dozen regular contributors to our program, and we're very proud he is a part of our show. JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattis, who is a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. Jeff flies the Airbus A320 and the A321 with nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience. And after your recent trip, Jeff Lattis, it's probably not nearly 20,000 hours. It's probably a lot closer to 20,000 hours. How you doing? How was that trip?
Well, you know, it's one of the longer ones I've done, but I kind of did it to myself. But yeah, after when I got home last night, it felt like I doubled my 20,000 hours every time I got home. So it was a little bit busy, yeah.
I think some of the listeners would be very interested to hear where you were flying over a 7-day period. Give us some of the routings, please.
Oh, boy. Well, the first day was pretty easy. It was just L.A. to San Francisco. Then I flew to Fort Lauderdale, then I flew back to L.A., then the next day I flew to Miami, and then Miami, the next day I went Miami to JFK, down to Santiago, Dominican Republic, and back to JFK, and then on the last day I pretty much came back to LAX. So I got to see a bit of the world, at least the Western Hemisphere.
Well, and there are limits, of course, on hours, right, on how much a pilot can fly?
Yeah, the big one is actually there's a monthly, which we cannot fly over 100 hours, at least at the controls, per month, and then one that's 1,000 per year. So that's a pretty hard limit, the 1,000 per year limit. So when you do the average based on that, the company tries to fly us, and most other companies the same way, about 80 hours a month. That way they know they're not going to go over it, and then, you know, all of a sudden they don't have pilots to fly because we've maxed out our time. So we try, it's usually around 75 to 80 hours a month is what the average would be.
Wow, I'm telling you, the headlines are all over the place about your industry today. Just looking at a few of them, CNBC, airlines race to train pilots as travel demand roars back. This one from the service The Hill, massive flight delays and cancellation prompt finger pointing. So, I guess Congress is not at all happy with the delays that happened, especially after Congress doled out a lot of money to the industry. Everybody's kind of right, pointing the fingers at everybody else. What's going on, Jeff Lattis?
Well, I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing are nobody really expected the return to flying as quickly as it happened. So within about a two-month period, we went from COVID-level flying to equal that of 2019, which was a very busy year. Currently, we're flying at that rate or more than what we did in 2019. There seems to be a lot more people that want to get away for obvious reasons. They've been contained, and they want to get out. Yeah. And I think we all understand that. You probably want to know where the problems lie with cancellations and,
yeah,
and delays,
yeah,
and such. You know, with a lot of the cancellations, it comes down to just the resources that are available, the human resources. You mentioned, you know, pilot shortages. It depends on which company you're talking about that has the pilot shortages. But everybody's experiencing other employee shortages as well. You know, there's not enough gate agents. You know, there's not enough ground crew. So they're having to rehire people to come back, or, you know, bring them back that took long-term periods of leave or were furloughed, and get them back up on into a position where they can do the work, or hiring new people altogether. So there is a whole lot of inexperience right now that I've seen recently, and that's not just with my airline, it's with other airlines as well. So that's kind of where we're looking at. There's also airplane shortages. A lot of airplanes were parked over long periods of time, almost for a year. It takes a while to do the maintenance on them, to prep them, to refly again, and to get those airplanes back out of the desert and recertified takes a little bit of time. So we're running on basically with no spares. A lot of airlines will have spare aircraft in case one breaks. They can put a spare airplane in there, and, you know, it's pretty fluid in most cases. Most passengers wouldn't even know that's going on. But now there aren't spares. So when an airplane breaks, there's long maintenance delays until they can fix it. That also generates cancellations as well. So, you know, there's a whole host of things that are contributing to this. Your article is about pilot training.
Mm-hmm.
The airline I work for, we didn't furlough any pilots. The union agreed to reduce hours on everybody in order to keep all pilots employed. That included pilots that were in training who didn't do anything for a year. They were in, you know, kind of a limbo status. They weren't flying because they weren't qualified to fly, but we were still paying them their training pay. And that was a decision that the union and the union rank and file made. So we didn't run into a pilot shortage problem. Delta, Southwest, America, most of the big companies allowed pilots to take long terms of leave, or some of them were furloughed. And it takes a while to retrain pilots. Once you lose your qualification, you have to go back through what we call a requalification process. And depending on how long you were gone, it could take up to a month to get requalified in a lot of cases. That also generates other problems.
But do you, to get requalified, if you're not flying, what is the limit that you, you know, when they furloughed these pilots, was it a month or two, or how do they requalify you or recertify you? What's that timeline like?
You know, and I don't know exactly how long before you trigger a full up requalification program. I'm talking like starting as a new guy. Usually you can be requalified in about a week, 5 days or so. And it depends, like I say, on how long you've been gone. The thing is, you only have so many simulators. Each simulator session is 4 hours long. And if you need five training events in a simulator, you know, that's going to take five of those time slots up. And the only, like, we have, I want to say, 6 Airbus simulators at JetBlue. And we operate them 24/7.
Wow.
So we probably have 5 simulator sessions per simulator per day, because you still need some time to, you know, change crews and maybe do a little bit of maintenance. But, you know, you're only talking, what, 30 simulator sessions a day. And if each pilot needs 5, you know, that's going to, you can only really qualify so many pilots per week. I can't really do the math right now, but.
Well, Delta.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Delta didn't, apparently some of the companies didn't plan as well as JetBlue did with your decision and the union's decision, because Delta now is saying they're going to have to hire 1,000 pilots over the next year, and the airline is now mulling over how changing how it allows pilots to bid to fly certain aircraft to avoid training backups. So
yeah, and I'm not too sure if I read that article as well. I'm not sure if I followed exactly what that person was talking about, other than they're restricting people from changing airplanes. I think that's what he was saying. You know, the airline industry is pretty much seniority based. So the more senior you are, you're probably not going to get furloughed. However, when you do furlough your pilots, you have to, what we call, downgrade captains to first officers to fill those less senior guys that left. So now when you start bringing pilots back in, not only do you have to train a new guy, first officer, but you have to retrain that guy that was a first officer going back to upgrade again. So it generates 2 training events per new person you bring in. So, you know, if they're bringing in 1,000 new pilots, well, they got to train 2,000 pilots in order to make that work right. So, and like I say, if you can only get 5 people done a day, you know, you know, you're only talking 30 people a week that they can get back up to qualification levels.
Jeff, we're going to take our break right here. I want to come back with you. Jeff Lattice, captain at JetBlue. I want to talk about this whole situation with a lot of anger among passengers and fights that are breaking out, and flight attendants who have had been punched in the face, and on it goes. But there's a lot of anger out there. I want to talk with Jeff Lattice about that as we continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. 790-2040. Any questions or comments for Captain Lattice? He would be happy to entertain those. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and if you're looking for a great weekend getaway, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico would easily fit the bill. The recent rains have really made things very, very beautiful, not only here in southern Arizona, but over in the Gila National Wilderness, America's first national wilderness, by the way. It's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City, and because of the elevation, it's cooler over there. And that's not so much an issue right now because our rains have cooled things down, but one thing that really is standing out, they've had a tremendous amount of rain over there. We've had some good rain, but they've had a lot over in New Mexico, and things looking really good. Start your planning, Southwest New Mexico, spell it out, .org for more information. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice is the Buckmaster Show contributor on aviation, and he joins us right now. And Jeff, do you notice the wildfire? Well, you haven't really been flying much over the West. Have you seen all the wildfires?
You know, about, was it a month ago, 3 weeks ago or so? Yeah, I did notice a lot of the fires, especially there in the around the Pine Top area. But there was a lot of fires up near Sedona as well. So I did notice them then. But since then, you know, it's I really haven't noticed. I've been kind of under control since I've flown then. I'm sure the rain has helped immensely.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of rain up yesterday up in northern Arizona. There was a gigantic storm that we had to go around getting into LAX. So
how far did you have to go? When you go around a storm, I know the passengers. Well, passengers, first of all, are always worried. Oh, we're going to be late. But in a case like this, you had to really go around. It was giant, huh?
Yeah, and I was up there, kind of north of Sedona and maybe west of Flagstaff when we flew by. But yeah, it was a giant one. There were several fairly large storms, Rocky Mountain rain shower type storms that we had to pick our way through, but that one in northern Arizona was the big one. But you were asking how far we had to fly from them.
I was just wondering, like that, yeah,
if they're big like that, we have to stay about 20 miles away.
Oh, wondered about that. I mean, when you're a passenger, it looks like, oh my goodness, it's right outside. It's right outside the cabin.
We do fly close to some.
Yeah.
It depends on their intensity. You know, obviously, the bigger the storm is, the more hazards they present. And one of the big things, not only lightning, because lightning can travel many miles outside of a storm, but they can also throw hail a long distance out of the top of them. And you might be thinking that you're clear of a thunderstorm and then get pelted by hail in high altitudes. So that's one reason why we kind of want to stay away from the bigger storms.
Yeah. I don't know about getting hit by hail or going about 550 miles an hour.
It does pretty good damage.
Yeah, I would imagine. Hey, Jeff, I'm quickly running out of time, but everybody's talking about the unprecedented violence as travel returns. Flight attendants not at all happy about it. Aviators like yourself, I'm sure, not happy. Have you noticed anything like that?
There for a while, when we started beginning to see the surge of travel, it seemed like the tensions were pretty high and you would run into the non-compliance problems, people not wanting to wear their mask. I thought we were going to see a lot more problems going into the summer since states are easing their mask mandates. However, I got to admit, the last couple of weeks I've been out there, I've noticed that most people still get it and behave. The flight attendants might have to tell somebody a couple of times, hey, you got to have your mask over your nose and mouth. You can't just have it over your mouth. Most people will comply with it. I think the message starting to get out that this is something that, it is a regulation that we have to comply by, and the employees of the airline can be held accountable if they don't enforce these. So I think people are starting to understand that we do take this fairly seriously, and there are consequences if you don't. I think the last time I was on here, I did talk a little bit about what can happen if you continue to be non-compliant with flight instruction or flight attendant instructions. But you can be arrested by the FBI. It's a federal crime in many cases. So if you're going to get belligerent, you're probably going to go to jail upon arrival if you don't divert in the meantime. But the FBI will be there after you are arrested, probably by the local police. Then you will be taken into custody by the FBI.
And you'll never fly again on that airline, for sure, maybe any airline.
Yeah, and there are ways that they can put you on a no-fly list for all airlines.
Yeah.
it's all I have to say is when you feel you're temper rising because a flight attendant seems to be picking on you about putting your mask on, you probably ought to comply because it can be very expensive. If you want to continue down the bad behavior route.
There you go.
And, I just said, just behave.
All right.
We're in that tube together for, 6 hours at a time. Let's just be civil.
Okay. I agree. Jeff, always a pleasure. Be safe. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jeff Lattis.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Jeff Lattis, captain at JetBlue. That's going to wrap it up. On behalf of Jeff Lattis, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Also, Tom Fairbanks says to all of our listeners, have a great afternoon, everybody.